continue our reading of God's word here. Verse number 28 of Judges chapter number 6. Let's follow the reading of God's precious word once again as we gather round his footstool and pray that God will speak to our hearts and God will minister to our needs this morning, whatever that need is in our heart. Judges chapter 6 and the verse number 28. And when the men of the city rose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, Who hath done this thing? And then when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, Bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all they that stood against him, Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore on that day he called him Zerubbabel, saying, Let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him, and he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and if it be dry upon the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early in the morning, on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wring the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Gideon said unto the Lord, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Amen. And we know that God himself will continue to bless his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee, we praise thee for thy precious word, and we pray that thou wilt instruct us once again as we humbly gather here to listen to thy word. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt help us to wholly follow the Lord. We've been singing the words of the hymn, Where he may lead me, or where he will lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so. And O God, our Heavenly Father, help us to trust thee today. Lord, even when things are dark and when things, Lord, perhaps there seems to be a fog upon them, and Lord, the way perhaps is not clear, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you'll help us still to trust thee. Help us, our God, to humbly follow after thee, for thou knowest the way that we take. And when thou hast tried us, we shall come forth as gold. Lord, bless thy word to our hearts, and may our meditation on thy word be sweet this morning. And, O God, may we know something of the sweetness of the presence of the Lord. And, Lord, that thou wilt just come and visit us again. Lord, give us the double portion of thy Holy Spirit, that as we open our mouths this day, that we will be those that are clothed in the mantle of the Spirit of God, and that we might know the power of God. O God, we pray that we might know the enduement of heaven. Lord, as the dew fell upon the fleece and then upon the ground, Lord, we pray that the dew of heaven may fall on our hearts today, and that we might be rejoicing in the Lord and in the God of our salvation. Lord, we sang the words, What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, what a wonderful Savior to me. And O God, we pray that thou wilt help us just to rejoice in our salvation and in the God of our salvation. And, O God, we know that salvation is of the Lord. And so we leave ourselves in thy hand. Go before us and guide us and speak to us and open our hearts to receive what thou wouldst give us today. And may we leave thy house, Lord, satisfied because God has spoken. And, Lord, that thou hast dealt with our hearts and that thou hast ministered to our hearts, even through thy precious word. We ask this reverently, humbly, in the name of Jesus, thy lovely Son, and for his glory alone. Amen and amen. Now, we've been looking in the book of Judges, and we've been considering in the early part of the sixth chapter of the book of Judges, how that Gideon was God's chosen vessel to deliver Israel in a time of great declension. It was a time of tremendous need. It was a time of a spiritual declension and apostasy, but God raised up Gideon to be his servant, to be his tool in such a day. Now, it is true that life for Gideon and for the children of Israel was tough. It wasn't easy. They were, in many ways, they were in poverty because they were impoverished, not only because of the intimidation of the enemy, the Midianites, the Amalekites that came upon them and took away their crops, but because of the great spiritual problem that was in their midst. They were in their situation because of their spiritual problem. And friend, let me tell you, they could diagnose it for whatever other way they wanted to, but it was a spiritual problem that was in their hearts. And we have noted already, as we've studied here, the importance of Gideon's life. And we did notice that it wasn't something special in Gideon or special of Gideon. It wasn't something about some special characteristic that Gideon had that set him apart or set him above the rest of them. But it is what God did with Gideon and what God did in the life of Gideon and through Gideon. Whenever he was yielded to God's will and was willing to follow God's will for his life and to do God's work as God had given it to him. Now in the verses 1 to 12, we notice Gideon's visitation. And we're not going over that again, but it was a desperate situation. And in the midst of this situation, God gloriously visited him. He was hiding in the wine press, but God found him. And God found him in the midst of his despair, in the midst of his defeat, in the midst of his discouragement. God got him, and God described him in the scriptures. In verse number 12, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And I said to you, God wasn't describing him what he was because he was hiding. He was anything but a mighty man of valor. But God described him as the way grace would leave him and what grace would use him. And I tell you this, God's grace came upon him and God gave him the strength to do what God wanted him to do. And God made him into this mighty man of valor. And then last Lord's Day, a couple of Sundays ago, we looked in verses 13 to 16, and we noticed Gideon's vision, because he speaks the language of doubt. He speaks the language of discouragement. Verse 13, it says, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then? And then it says, and where be his miracles, which our fathers have told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt, but now the Lord hath forsaken us? And so he has the whys, and he has the wheres. Oh God, why? Hey Lord, if you're with us, then Lord, why is all of this happening to us? And God, where are the miracles? Where be those miracles you did? And God, you know, the summary of the whole situation is this. Lord, if you're with us, well, why have you forsaken us? Why have you forsaken us? And what I said in conclusion the last time we noticed, you see, Gideon doesn't see the problem, does he? It wasn't that God had forsaken them. It was that they had forsaken God. And friend, that's the tragedy about it. So often, whenever we get problems and our eyes are dim and there's a haze upon our vision, we see it wrong. It wasn't that God had forsaken. It wasn't that God wasn't able to do the miracles. It wasn't that God wasn't able to deliver them. It was because of their sin. It was a sin problem. It was a spiritual problem that had got to be dealt with. But thank God, God answered his problems with a promise. And if you go there in verse 14, it says, And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Go to verse number 16. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And there we think about Gideon's vision. His eyes could not see the way ahead. His eyes were dim because of the problems, because of his doubts, because of his discouragements. His eyes were dim and he could not see God really delivering the children of Israel. But let's move forward in verses 17 to 24. Let's look at Gideon's vexation. You know, it says here in verse 17, and Gideon said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. Now some, whenever they look at these verses here, they are saying, here's a continuation. Even after God has spoken to Gideon, even after God has commissioned him, and he says, I have sent thee, and God says, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And he says, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Surely he has enough promises there to go and face the enemy. Some people say, whenever they look at these the next verses, verses 17 and 18, what really are reading in these next verses, down to verse 24, is Gideon's doubt still going on? It's Gideon is still in the slough of despond. He's still in the midst of despair. And yet I believe, friend, that that is not really so. I believe what you're seeing here is that for the first time in all of this situation, there is a glimmer of light. You know what it says in the Psalms? It says, unto the righteous there ariseth light in the darkness. And unto the righteous there ariseth light in the darkness. And maybe you're going through a dark passage in your life today. Maybe, friends, listen, the way's not clear. But thank God if you walk with God and if you just leave it in God's hand. I'll tell you, unto the righteous there ariseth light. And what I believe, what we're seeing here from verse 17 to 24, whilst it's Gideon's vexation, because he is not into the full light of faith yet, but what is happening here, we are seeing light to start to shine through. And instead of being in the midst or continuing in doubt and despair and discouragement, we see the obstacles of his fears and doubts beginning to move. Now notice when you come to verse 17, and he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign. You notice he's not protesting anymore. He's not arguing with God anymore. He's not arguing. He's asking God to do something. And he says, Lord, if you've spoken to me and if I found grace in your sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Now you say, well, what is happening here in Gideon's life? Let me tell you this. Gideon is facing a situation that he has never faced before. He is getting a wonderful call from God to go and face the Midianites and the Amalekites and lead them, the children of Israel, in victory and defeat the enemy. But he wants to be sure. He wants to be sure that the message is from God. You see, friend, I believe in certain ways what we're finding in these verses here is a principle that is already established in God's Word. In 1 John chapter 4, it says, try the spirits and see whether they be of God. And I believe that what we're seeing here is the principle behind that request for confirmation is that he wants to know that the message is really from God. He says, if I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. You see, in reality, Gideon, because of his despair, because of his fear, because of his doubts, and he has this visitation of the Lord, and God says, you're a mighty man of valor, and God says, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel, and God says, listen, have not I sent thee, and God has said, surely I'll be with thee. It's so much for Gideon to take in that in fact, he thinks he's nearly dreaming. And he's not sure that this is really from God. And he wants to be sure that this is God's message. Because let me tell you, friend, this is a crisis in his life. This is a real situation in Gideon's life. He dare not make a mistake. What a tragedy if he, of himself, or of the flesh, was to go and face the Midianites. He would go in his mouth and nose, not only himself, but his father's house would be destroyed, his people would be destroyed, and the enemy would stand back and laugh. So he needs to be sure that this is of God. And that's why he says, it's not darkness and doubt. He is saying, Lord, if I have found grace in thy sight, he says, then Lord, show me a sign. God, show me a sign. And so he's asking, he's coming out of the darkness, but he's wanting to be careful here. He wants to be sure that the message is of God. He's trying the Spirit to see whether it be of God. He wants it to be real. You know, the devil's crafty in these days, and friend, let me tell you, we've got to be so careful. Because the devil is so crafty, he delights in sowing confusion among the people of God. The devil will try to put confusion in the minds of the child of God. Listen, the devil's a liar. Remember that. The devil's a deceiver. The devil's an imitator. The devil's an impostor. He's all of those things and multitudes more. And friend, I tell you this, we need to beware of the devices of the devil, because let me tell you, not all of those that say, Lord, Lord, are his. And so we have to be careful here. Because the devil can send messengers that masquerade as apostles of Christ. And friend, the reality is they're very opposite. They're not of God at all. Let me just turn you, keep your hand there in Judges. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me show you exactly what I mean. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And go down there to verse number 13, it says this. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now notice, friend, they are transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, but they're not apostles of Christ. They are false apostles. They are deceitful workers. Verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also, that's the devil's ministers, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool. Let me tell you, friend. That is why I believe that the Holy Ghost says you're to try the spirits. The Bible tells us, of course, in the last days that perilous times shall come, men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And friend, I tell you, the devil is so crafty. He is so crafty, and Gideon wants to be sure that the source of his message is of the Lord. I tell you, the devil would love to make shipwreck of God's messengers. The devil would love to make shipwreck of the devil, the Lord's work, friend. And I tell you, he's going about, you never forget this, he's going about like a roaring lion, and he's always seeking whom he may devour. And the devil would love to devour the testimony of some child of God. He would love to destroy your testimony. He'd love to put you into total confusion that you don't know whether you're going right or left or up or down. And friend, let me tell you, you've got to be sure that this is of God. That this is of God. And that's why Gideon said, it's not continuing darkness when he said this to the Lord, show me a sign. In reality, it is the light is breaking through in Gideon's, the midst of his doubt and his fears and his discouragement. And he says, oh God, if this is really you, Lord, if you're really speaking to me, then God, give me a sign. Lord, show me. Show me. And then he said this. Let's go to the next verse. He said, verse number 18. He says, depart not thence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee. He said, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee, And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. Now I believe here, Gideon's very earnest. He asked the angel of the Lord to linger until he brings his gift. Or he brings his present. Because I believe here, what is happening is this, that Gideon believes that the manner in which his guest receives the gift will indicate whether that this is God or not. Whether this is of God or not. How that the gift is being received. Now, I look here and I see, you know, isn't it wonderful how patient God is with us? Because he says in the end of verse 18, and he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And so the Lord is patient with Gideon. Now Gideon returns, if you go to verse 19. And Gideon went in and he made ready a kid and 11 cakes of an ephah flour. And the flesh he put in a basket and he put the broth in the pot. And he brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. Now here is Gideon coming with his present. Remember, he says, God, I want you to show me a sign. I want you to show me a sign that this is really thee. And he said then immediately, having said that, he said, listen, I'll bring my present, because he knew the manner in the reception of the present. I believe that Gideon believes that he'll find out whether this is of God or not. And so he gets in there and he brings his present. He brings he makes ready the kid and he has the cakes of the ephah of flour and he puts the flesh in the basket and he puts the broth in the pot and he brings us out to the angel of the Lord under the oak and he presents it to him. And the angel of the Lord, verse 20, said unto him, take the flesh and the 11 cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. Just pour out the broth. Now friend, let me tell you, that's not the natural way of receiving gifts, is it? He says, listen, he didn't say, I'm going to take these. He says, I want you to, listen, you see that rock there? He says, I want you to take the 11 cakes and I want you to take the flesh of the kid. And he says, I want you to put it on that rock. And he says, I want you to pour out the broth. You say, that was a very ungrateful way of receiving a gift. No, friend, it wasn't. Because the heavenly guest here, he turns what was a present or a gift, he made it into an offering unto the Lord. And what happens here is that this heavenly guest instructs Gideon what he's to do next. And Gideon witnesses the acceptance of his gift, and it was received as the fire came out of the rock. Now, the fire didn't come from heaven this time. The fire came out of the rock. Remember, friend, listen. There was honey in the rock. There was water out of the rock that fed them. Remember, those that were in the desert in the place and they were so thirsty. Praise God, there was sufficient water out of the rock. Now there's fire out of the rock. And the water, the fire comes, and the fire consumes the flesh, verse 21. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the 11 cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of the sight. And Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. By the reception of the gift, Gideon has received the confirmation that this is not his imagination, that this direction, this instruction is truly of God. Friend, let me tell you, the angel of the Lord, he took the rod and he put it there upon the flesh and the fire came out of the rock and consumed the sacrifice or the offering or the present or the gift. And you know, there's something happens to Gideon at that moment. I believe Gideon's life was changed. Because he knows that this is the Lord. And Gideon was changed that day when the fire consumed the sacrifice. Of course, I believe that the fire consuming the sacrifice speaks to us of Calvary. Of what happened on Calvary's cross. And thank God, Calvary makes a change in our lives. when a man gets to the cross of Calvary, our lives are truly changed. You know, Gideon knows that this is God. Verse number 22, it says, and when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for behold, I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." What does he mean there, friend? What does he mean? Why does he cry out, "Alas, O Lord God"? I'll tell you simply why. Because you see, my friend, to a Jew or to an Israelite, when God visited them in such a way, when there was a visitation of God like this, they feared death. That's why, if you look at the next verse, it says in verse 22 or 23, "And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto you, fear not, thou shalt not die." You see, to the Israelite, God was supreme in holiness and in authority. And they believed that a visitation such as he had received, it meant death, or either that his death was near at hand. Why did they believe that? Well, of course, turn back to the book of Exodus, chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Do you remember Moses was up there on the mount? And let's go to verse 17 because of time. Exodus 33, verse 17. "And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And God said, I will make my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there is no man has seen me and live." And that's exactly why Gideon feared. Because he believed that this was the Lord. And he cried out, "Alas, O Lord God!" And let me tell you that this was the Lord. This was indeed a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was appearing there to Gideon. Quite a number of times we see the Lord Jesus appearing in the Old Testament in his glory. And Gideon remembers what God had said to Moses, "There no man see me and live." Let's just read on to the end of that chapter 33. "And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass when my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and thou shalt cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. No man shall see my face and live." And Gideon cried out. He cried out. But no sooner had Gideon expressed his fears in chapter 6 and verse 23 that God steps in to still him. It says, "And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, Gideon, fear not, thou shalt not die." And through the word of God, friend, through the word of God, Gideon finds peace. You know, thank God, through the living word, he is our peace. The Lord Jesus Christ has purchased our peace. The Lord Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." Therefore, Romans chapter 5, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." Ephesians 2, 14, "He is our peace." And of course, the rock speaks to us of Christ. Fire from the rock. The Lord Jesus Christ is the rock in the wilderness. And Gideon, verse 24, built an altar unto the Lord. And he called it Jehovah Shalom. You're to go to Israel today, you'll say Shalom, peace. Because the Lord brought Gideon peace. Let me ask you before we move, Ben, quickly. Have you peace in your heart today? There's a peace in my heart which the world never give, a peace that has come here to stay. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Can you honestly say, preacher, I know what you're talking about here. Because there is a peace in my soul today. I came by faith to the cross. I received the Lord Jesus as my Savior. Friend, can you honestly say, just as Gideon, that he built an altar, can you raise your altar unto the Lord and call it Jehovah Shalom? The Lord is our peace. At this altar, very quickly, there's wisdom here. Because Gideon here is indicating he has learned where the source peace is. Jehovah Shalom. Friend, there's wisdom when a man learns, oh, how wise a man is when he learns that the Lord is our peace. That you can have peace. There's not only wisdom here, there's worship here, because the altar speaks of worship. And if you want to serve the Lord, let me tell you this, you must first of all worship Him. What does it say? Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. But you must worship Him. Have you bowed your knee before the altar today, before the Lord? There is wisdom here, there's worship here, there's witness here. Because Gideon has come to the place where he's dedicating himself to serve God. And you know, God's starting to change him. He's making him into this mighty man of valor. And he calls it Jehovah Shalom. You know, let me say about peace just for a wee moment. You know, peace isn't the absence of trouble. Some people think, you know, whenever we talk about peace, that peace somehow is the absence of trouble in our lives. Let me tell you, my friend, peace isn't the absence of trouble, but it is the deep-rooted tranquility of order in the midst of trouble. Someone has said, God has not promised an easy way, but peace at the center of the hard way. You know, God gives peace. And I believe that Gideon's acknowledging here, God, I'm going to find myself in the midst of all kinds of hostilities. I'm going to find myself in the midst of incredible stresses. But God, I know this fact, that in all my weakness, in all my helplessness, Lord, I'm abandoning myself to Thee. And God, when I do that, You'll put everything in order. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stead on Thee. And Gideon's changed, man. Gideon's changed. And I want us to move very quickly in closing. Gideon's valor. Look at verse 25. Because God has said, you see, thou mighty man of valor. And I said that Gideon's changed. Listen. Verse 25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him. And God says, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of the rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the groves which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him, and so it was, because he feared his father's household, that the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. Friend, let me tell you, Gideon has had an encounter with God. It's an experience, an encounter with God, and now his life's changed. But let me tell you, it doesn't stop there. It's only starting. It's only starting. And some people say, you know, well listen, when I'm saved, will that mean, preacher, I'll never have another problem, I'll never have another difficulty, I'll never have another valley, I'll never have another trial? Let me tell you this, my friend, no sooner was Gideon changed than God says, listen, there has to be the manifestation of your change. There's a manifestation of it. And you've got to follow me, Gideon. See, Gideon had asked God for a sign. And now God's saying, Gideon, you're going to show the world the same. You're going to show the world the same. That you're changed. That you're different. That you're not the man that you were before. And what follows, my friend, is an act of great courage. Remember, whenever we open the chapter, where's Gideon? He's hiding. That's what it says. He's hiding. From the Midianites. And God is saying, listen, you can no longer hide. You've got to come out into the open. You've got to no longer be gripped by fear of man. You've got to stand up for the Lord. Let me tell you, we're ending an old year, friend, and there's some of God's children in this church. It's time you stood up for God. It's time you got active for the Lord, friend. Listen, it's not only enough to say that I'm saved. But you've got to show the world that you're changed. You've got to show the world that you're saved. You've got to show the world that you're on the Lord's side. And friend, let me tell you, Gideon's going to have to put trusting the Lord into practice. For God says, listen, the same night the Lord said unto him, take the father's young bullock and throw down your father's altar of Baal. And cut down the grove that's by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place. I read a little poem the other day. Trust him when dark doubts assail thee. Trust him when thy strength is small. Trust him when to simply trust him seems the hardest thing of all. Trust him, he is ever faithful. Trust him, for his will is best. Trust him, for the heart of Jesus is the only place of rest. I was reading a story the other day of some botanists and scientists that were out there in the Alps, in a remote area of the Alps. And they were looking for new species of flowers. And they're way up there in the mountains and the Alps. And one day they were there and they got the binoculars and they were looking away down into the ravine. Through their binoculars, and they saw a beautiful flower that they've never, ever seen before. It was the rarest and the most beautiful flower that they've ever seen. And you know, they thought this is wonderful for our scientific discovery. We've got to get it. But it lay down there in the heart of the ravine, and there was cliffs on both sides. And to get that flower, somebody would have to be lowered over the cliff on a rope. But just at that time, there was a curious young lad. A young boy came alongside the scientists and the botanists. And he was standing nearby and he was sort of looking, trying to see what they were seeing. Now they were seeing it through the binoculars, but he couldn't see it. And so he was inquisitive and he said, tell me, what are you doing? And of course they told him about the problem they had. And then one of the scientists turned to the young fellow and he said, son, If you will go over the cliff and retrieve that flower for us, we'll pay you. We'll let you down and you get it. And the boy looked over the steep cliff and he could hide the dizzy, standing there in the dizzy heights, and he saw the dizzy depths below, and he says, I'll be back in a minute. And just a short time after that, the wee boy returned. And he was followed by a grey-haired man. He went over to one of the botanists. And he said to him, he says, I'll go over the cliff. And I'll get the flower for you. If this man holds the rope. And they couldn't understand why this man will hold the rope. No, this man holds the rope. He says, son, why will you do it for him? He said, this man's my dad. You see, he trusted someone that loved him. And friend, you and I, in our lives, the Lord's saying, listen, I have loved you. Listen, child of God, listen. Don't doubt the love of your father. And whatever God tells you to do, friend, don't doubt his love. You can go over the cliff. You can go over the steepest ravine. You can climb the highest mountain. You can face the greatest giant. You can face the powers of hell. Because this man, the Lord Jesus, is someone to be trusted. We sang the hymn this morning, "Where he will lead me, I will go." And you see, friend, there's a problem facing Gideon now. And you notice what God said to him. He said, "Listen, you've got to take the bullock and you've got to throw down the altar and cut down the grove and then build the altar unto the Lord thy God in the ordered place." Because you see, Gideon's father was a Baal worshipper. So great had been the detention, so great had been the sin, that Gideon's father and Gideon's home was a place of the Baal worship. And beside the altar to Baal, there was a grove. And it was the grove of Ashtaroth. And do you remember what I told you about Ashtaroth? She was a goddess. She was regarded as the goddess of fertility. And Baal and Ashtaroth, it was perversion. It was a vile, debased symbol. And God says, "Before you raise the altar of worship to me, you've got to cut down the altar of Baal." Can I ask a question? As we finish this one, is there a false god in your life or mine? Is there something that God's saying today needs to be chopped down? God says, listen, chop down the grove. Is there something in our homes, in the privacy of our homes, in the privacy of our lives? Is there a God, my friend, that God is saying to us today, listen, before you can raise the altar to me, this altar of Baal must be chopped down. This altar of Baal must be destroyed. And it took courage. And Gideon, you know, is just coming out of the depths of despair and fear. And he takes 10 men with him, but he goes at night because he's afraid to do it by day. But friend, remember this. He did it. He did it. You see, Gideon's changed. His life's different. And he got rid of the altar of Baal. He got rid of the old sin. And then he built the altar unto the Lord. And friend, that's a challenge for you and me today. That you and I cannot serve two masters. We have got to chop down the old altars of sin in our lives before we can raise the altar of worship unto the Lord. But thank God he did it. You will never know the delights of God's love until all on the altar you lay. Whatever he says, where he sends you will go, never fear. Only trust and obey. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless thy word to our hearts today. And Lord, just help us to trust you even when we can't see. Simply trusting, that is all. And Lord, if there are those this morning in thy house and they have never trusted thy lovely Son as their Savior, give them grace to come. Give them grace to receive Christ this day. O God, call them effectually with a cords and call of love. To save them for all eternity. And then, Lord, we pray that you'll help those that know and love thee to just follow thee no matter what the cost. To take up the cross.
and follow Christ. For we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.